Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to that Chelsea podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. Chelsea back, and Chelsea back with a win. Three wins in a row. What is this? Some uncharted territory we're entering here at Chelsea. Over 2 months unbeaten now at the bridge. What is this? Anyway, to join me to discuss a fairly routine FA Cup third round victory over Preston North End, it's Gabs. Gabs, how are we doing, my man?
Happy New Year, Nick. Happy New Year, listeners. And happy dry January to all taking part, such as myself. Yeah. I mean, we're winning at home. Life is good. Life is on the up. What can I say?
Yeah, exactly. Not bad. And for any listeners who give a shit, New Year's Day was... I woke up New Year's Day to find that I'd won both my fantasy championships, fantasy football championships in redraft and Dynasty. So I was like, that's a very good start. And then, you know, that was basically as good as New Year's Day got because I went to the cinema later and a fire alarm went off halfway through a film. So I had to go back and watch the next day and... next evening and watch it from start. But thankfully, no fire alarm went off there, so it was all good. One Life, if anyone's interested, great film about Nicholas Winton. Anyway, as I always do, guests, I get them to give themselves a plug. So, Gaz, where can people find you if they wanted to see your ramblings about Chelsea, about cricket, about your local Swindon, who unfortunately, you know, again threw it away at the end of yesterday. So the wait goes on for us to find a day where Chelsea and Swindon both win a game of football. But yeah, just tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, that's impossible. That 1GFB, so Oscar November Echo Golf Foxtrot Bravo. 1GFB,
lovely stuff. Gabs's link will be in the description below, and I said when I took the pod out as well, his ad will be in the title tweet. Right, Gabs, Chelsea played Preston North End and won 4-0 yesterday. It was nice, you know, just nice to get through to the third round after last year's sort of what happened last year. It meant that Chelsea are now unbeaten in each of their last 28 games against lower league opposition across both the FA Cup and League Cup. No giant killings allowed. Yeah, the last game would be that did not happen would be that Bradford game 4-2 in 2015. Gaz, like, just what were your thoughts on the game? Because as I said, probably a tale of two halves is a nice way to sum it up, but it was, yeah, just, you know, one of those games that in the end quality showed. In the end, it was very comfortable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way of summarising it, really. I think first half, I think I texted you and a few others saying it was hard to tell, you know, who really was the Premier League side. I think there was evidence there, but one team was clearly drilled, knew exactly what they were doing. The other one kind of seemed devoid of ideas. And then it was clear Poch got into the lads at half time because second half it was like night and day, really. Just more energy. You could tell the fitness levels were higher as well because I think Preston tailed off after the first went in. And no, all round, I think that's what you want really in a cup. You want to get some confidence into players, score a lot of goals, and more importantly, your name in the hat.
Yeah, no, exactly. And as we know, at least, you know, there will be one big name that goes out this round of the FA Cup with Arsenal playing Liverpool later today. And they said, it's about getting the job done. And they said, never take it for granted, the FA Cup, you know, never take. We've seen a lot. We've seen Premier League teams go out, lower league teams. And we, you know, Aston Villa acquired a late winner at Aston Villa. Aston Villa acquired a late winner at Middlesbrough last night, etc., who we've got next. So it's not, you know, never take it for granted, and said it was nice. It was job done in the end, even if there was a lot of frustration about it. Gaz, the first half, let's be honest, that was pretty dull and pretty insipid. It was a game where we probably didn't move the ball around fast enough. Like, I kind of got what we were doing, trying to tire them out, etc. But we kind of got the ball and we didn't really do much with it. Poor Enzo Fernandez picked out a couple of real nice passes, but there wasn't a lot of movement around for him. Obviously, I guess his moment is Cole Palmer. He plays a lovely ball for Cole Palmer, and Palmer sort of chips wide. And then there's obviously, I think, a ball he plays into Broyer or something, and that shot gets blocked. But Gabs, I guess the stand-up player on that first half, and then again, essentially in the hour he was on the pitch, probably was Alfie Gilchrist. His game by numbers, 100% tackles won, 100% dribbles completed, 94% pass accuracy, 79% touches, 62 out of 66 passes completed, 2 out of 3 long balls completed, 2 out of 2 ground duels won, 2 clearances. And Gaz, this was sort of him playing like in a right-back role as well, not his centre-back position we started in. Obviously, a first start for Alfie. I mean, yeah, in a first half and period which was not the most inspiring, I guess Gilchrist and Enzo were probably really the main two standouts, weren't they?
Yeah, those two were the only ones I thought in the first half playing at a pace which I think you normally see in the Premier League. I think those two had urgency about them. Enzo was moving the ball quickly, one touch move. Gilchrist, I felt when Preston tried to break, because I noticed what Preston tried to do a lot in the first half was hit the diagonals quickly and isolate the wing backs. And I thought Gilchrist every time, I don't know who he was up against on that. On that right-hand side. But every time that left winger ran at him, I felt confident that he was going to keep up with him. I felt confident that he wasn't going to get past him. And when Gilchrist found himself in space, he was always looking to go forward immediately. And I think against a team like Preston, who you know are going to sit back and try and wait for that mistake, then get you on the counter, I thought Enzo and Gilchrist, the way they were just kind of breaking up and just eliminating any sort of Preston counter-attack was what we kind of needed that first half.
Yeah. As I said, the first half was pretty done on spine, but even though at that point said Chelsea probably could have been 2-0 up with chance made, Enzo obviously had a header straight at the keeper as well. But Gaz, really, that game is just killed off in the space of 10 minutes, in this 11 minutes in the space of that second half, 3 goals in 11 minutes, kills it off. Chelsea just kind of go through the gears needed. And that first goal scorer, Armando Broyer, yeah, it's a lovely cross from Malagusta, who I will get onto shortly. It means no player has provided more assists at Stamford Bridge across all competitions so far this season than Malagusta, and that's assists in back-to-back home games. But Gabs, Armando, and this is where I will throw in sort of the first listener question or two. One of them comes in from a fella I think you and I may know, a fella called JR, who asks, does Gabs still back Broyer to come good? And then Jam, who asks, thoughts on Brozier, do we play to his strengths? What does he need to work on? Gaz, I obviously know from our conversations you're quite big on Armando, and obviously he's going to be the player we're going to be needing to rely on with Jackson now at AFCON. What did you kind of make of Armando yesterday? It was quite telling, but when he got the best service of the game he got, he scored and then hit the bar with one. Maybe sometimes his movement, you know, that first half was a bit frustrating, maybe getting into the same areas as other players, and, you know, maybe his sort of indecision-making in sort of where he was trying to get to. But what did you kind of just make of his performance, and in answer to JR's question, do you still back him to come good, and what does, you know, and to Jam's question, what does he need to work on? Do we play to his strengths, etc.?
First and foremost, thank you, JR, for the question. Shout out, JR, my away day ticket plug. To be honest, I thought Broyer actually kind of summed up Chelsea's performance, really. First half, I thought, I wasn't amused at all, really. Thought he was quite sluggish. When he did hold up the ball, because, you know, he's a physical presence, he's a big guy. He'll hold up the ball, he'll then go back a few yards of the ball and not get his head up to see people have gone round him and then, like, either lay back or lay it off. he was just immediately like turning over the ball. It's like, come on, man, you've got the physical presence. You should be better. You should be better than this, than any player we have, considering your size. And then I think it was pretty telling. I'm actually made note of this in the first half. Palmer ran past him to start the high press a fair few times, as did Mudryk, as did Sterling. I didn't once see Breuer sprint to close down one of the centre backs or a keeper to start the high press. It was always one of the midfielders running past him. And I think, for me, when your striker's doing that, it kind of raised the level, because then it actually makes the whole team sort of press and narrow together. That I thought he was quite lethargic in the fact that he wasn't really having the presence of mind to do that. And then when the ball was coming in around the box, he wasn't really moving much. So everything was kind of defeat. Everything was narrow and compact. And then I don't know what Potts said to him at half time, but credit to him. I mean, he was moving more. Look how he found space in the box for the header. And also, to be fair, probably the second header he hit the crossbar with was probably harder. Or probably easier, sorry. And also, as soon as the first went in, did you see how quickly he closed down the keeper? Could have had a second in what? In space of 10 seconds? It just shows, really, a bit of confidence here. And you can just go from being, what is he, 6 foot to about 12 foot tall. I just hope now, with Borough coming up, another team of that sort of Preston level, that he can kind of kick on and just build on that confidence now. Because you've seen over the last few weeks, when he does get into a good position, he's either taking too many touches or he's trying to dummy, just not having the killer instinct to shoot straight away. So I'm just kind of hoping now, just with a goal, that confidence can kind of build. Because I think we've seen, especially where it might have been Everton, where he got barred off the ball once and his head just dropped. And even the same with Wolves, after the missed dummy and the missed time shot, his head kind of went down, which is where you could see that he's still young. So I think Jackson's probably still ahead in the pecking order, because as much as I've bad enough Jackson this season, you get a bit of Timo Werner in there where you can see there is effort. I would say passion, but he's getting booked for dissent. I don't, you know, you could say that's passion and such. There's probably more annoyance than his behalf. But I think it's a really good chance for Breuer now. Two championship teams in a week. And then Fulham on Saturday, who he scored against earlier this season. So just build a bit of confidence and actually kind of become in the conversation for, okay, this bloke potentially could be a Chelsea striker. And this isn't one of the players we should be looking to sell to kind of raise funds, as we know, as well, popular, very well documented at the moment.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I thought, Armando's second half certainly made more to stake a case. And, you know, I don't think that game's necessarily going to really alter many people's perspectives on Armando, given that it is pressure in the championship. But it was nice that, you know, he scored a goal and kind of, you know, did the job that was required of a striker and what you'd expect of a striker against a lower league team in the cup. Gabs, obviously that is assisted by Malo Gusto. Obviously he's playing left back. I guess it's quite handy to know that he's potentially, you know, also, as well as being the best right back we have available right now, but potentially also the best left back. His form in recent weeks has been, you know, really encouraging to see. He's put in some really big performances. And I guess, Gabs, I mean, we're looking at it now, but I think that genuinely you can make the case that under this new ownership, he's potentially the best signing this club has actually made in terms of performance, when you factor in that, you know, the performances he's put in, the cost and how much he, you know, his versatility and his age. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of young players signed and they've also put in good performances. I mean, obviously, some people would probably say, you know, Cole Palmer and I'd, you know, those two. And I'd say that's a very good shout as well. But I think you're looking at, just in terms of price and value, like it's probably between Cole Palmer and Malo Gusto for the best signings this ownership have made so far, because he is really good. And it is kind of telling that, you know, it said Chelsea are doing, you know, Chelsea do not miss Reece James as much as we have in previous seasons, as I said. And Malo Gusto's at left back today and he still puts in a, you know, lovely cross for Armando. Just thoughts on him, because I think he's, you know, turning out to be a really good signing.
I think he was probably one of the most necessary signings we made. Yeah, because I think we knew maybe for about 4 years that Azpilicueta is not a suitable backup option long term for James, just purely on leg purposes. And to be fair, I think apart from maybe a few games where Gusto was kind of in and out due to injury, he's been pretty darn solid so far. About his performance, actually, made a few notes on him yesterday. I thought, on the left, good, not bad. And a really good cross when he actually managed to get onto his right foot. But as a long-term option, I don't really want to see him on the left unless the winger he's with kind of understands how Gusto plays. Because I thought with Mudryk, what I found is every time the ball was coming up to Gusto, from where his right foot dominated, his first touch would naturally take him inwards. And then Mudryk, instead of going, like, kind of getting chalk on his feet, staying outwards, he'd stay inwards. So then when Mudryk got the ball, about three or four Preston players would just automatically swarm him. And I just felt, because he is so dominantly right-footed, we were losing that natural width on that side of the pitch. Therefore, I felt everything was becoming compact. But second half, I know we started on the left before moving to the right, he was actually looking to get more onto his right foot, and then Mudryk was starting to get around him more, and Sterling, when Sterling switched sides as well, was trying to get around him more. So I think there was something in there at half-time where they probably said, right, Armando Broa is tall, very tall. Let's start actually getting the ball into the box to this guy now. Because, I mean, up until the goal, how many crosses did we actually put in the box on both sides? Genuinely, I didn't think anyone put any crosses in. So, yeah, good defensively. Very good going forward, as we saw, especially with that goal against Palace. And, you know, I long may this continue. Because, I mean, it's got to the point now, I don't think we can really rely on James. And the question will be when he comes back, can his body handle being right back? I mean, Tuchel spoke about for a long time his body not being potentially suited to being a right back, so he had to play the right side of a back three. So the possibility could be there where Reece comes back, plays there, and we just keep Custo on the right.
Fair enough, but yeah, it's a really good performance from him. Gabs, Chelsea kind of kill the game off with a second. Thiago Silva, probably one of his first touches of a ball. Cole Palmer gets the assist, and it now means that Cole Palmer has been directly involved in 15 goals for Chelsea across all competitions so far this season. 20 appearances, 16 of those starts, 8 goals, 7 assists, and that's his 7th goal involvement since the start of December. Gabs, we'll get on to sort of, you know, Thiago Silva, which again is just fair play. You're just very good at football, and like the appreciation just kind of grows for him each week. But Cole Palmer, it's quite interesting, and I guess this is something I thought about. Cole Palmer, feel that, like, the beauty of Cole Palmer is that he can basically just be anonymous throughout a game, which can obviously be frustrating when the game is not, when you're not ahead in the game, and it can be, yeah, it can just be frustrating. But then he can just pop up, and yes, it's a set piece, right? But it's a good set piece on the head of Thiago Silva, heads home, and that's a goal that kills us off. And I guess Cole Palmer, it feels like he's one of those players who is quite just efficient when he's on the ball. I never really see him in a game have necessarily loads of touches of a ball, but he just seems to be quite efficient and effective with what he does. And it's not saying he will ever reach this level of player, but I just think of someone who, you know, you kind of people go compared to maybe sort of later on now, but someone like Messi is sort of just one of those players who just gets the, you know, kind of waits for his moment and then sort of pounces. And there is sort of, I feel a little bit of that in Cole Palmer. It's obviously not saying he's going to have a career like Messi or end up becoming close to that player, but it does feel that he's just one of those players who's quite efficient with his touches and what he does with the ball.
I'm starting to notice a serious correlation between Palmer influence and chance performances. When Palmer is miles off it, the performance completely drops. And then when he turns it on, like we say, like at Old Trafford, for example, we score. And then I think Garth Crooks raised it. I know you went really in on Palmer after Luton game, saying, oh, you know, you should have went on and got a hat-trick, yada, yada. But when Palmer's performance dropped, chances dropped. Like, I know it's weird. I know obviously it's defensive issues, but it's a serious correlation. Serious correlation. It's really weird. Bloke's quality, Eddie. I think it's the first time for a long time when someone gets the ball, I get quite excited. I don't know how you feel about that, but I just feel like, because there's an element of unpredictability to this game. I love it.
Yeah, no, exactly. You said, you know, that's kind of what, you know, helps us, you know, kill the game off to make it 2-0. And, you know, from then on, it's pretty, pretty comfortable. Raheem Sterling scores a free kick. And it meant that after just one of his first 168 goals in English club football had come from such a position, Raheem Sterling's last two goals for Chelsea have both come from a direct free kick. Again, you want to talk about sort of, like, we talked about Cole Palmer sort of just being efficient with the ball, you know, the amount of ball he gets. Raheem Sterling is kind of the opposite. He gets a lot of the ball, is pretty inefficient, but then just does things, like, and he'll just have a standout moment. Like, obviously, you're of game yesterday, but like Raheem Sterling, I thought was pretty garbage for a lot of that. Rocks up, gets a free kick. His game by numbers ends up being 52 out of 57 passes completed, 12 touches in the opposition box, 5 shots, 4 chances created, 4 crosses, 3 big chances created, 3 shots on target, 3 successful take-ons, 1 goal, 1 assist. He ends up getting man of the match, which kind of just sums it up. Like, granted, I should state, I would be wary of really what the BBC team said, because they were going 4-0, this is a harsh score on Preston, even though if you look at XG, Chelsea's XG was over 4, Preston didn't really do much, and in general, Jonathan Pearce and Danny Gabdon were a thoroughly depressing listen on commentary yesterday. He's just such a bizarre player. Like, he'll do moments in games that have just got you going, wow, and he'll chip in like with a goal contribution. I mean, a lot of the time just leave you wildly frustrated with what he's doing. Like, in that first half, I found him so frustrating. But then in that second half, he kind of, you know, just gets, he sort of just does what's needed. He's such a bizarre player to really sort of watch and analyse. Because, like, you know, he walks away with a man of a match award, granted, off given by the BBC commentary team. And he walks away probably, like, you know, on paper, like another solid showing. And yet you watch that game, you're like, well, really, you were sort of good for like a tiny period in that game. But I guess that sort of just shows, I guess, a bit of a frustration with Raheem Sterling, but also then just shows the quality that he does offer this team.
Could he be the most confusing player in the Premier League modern era? I can't figure the bloke out. Like, honestly, like, he's clearly got the ability, but decision-making. How many times yesterday, genuinely, could he have shot? But he'd either dummy it, he'd pass it. Genuinely, I think he could have walked away about 4 goals. Legit. I can't figure him out for the life of me. Like, everything's there, but it's just, he hasn't got brain, has he? He hasn't got brain. That's the only solution I could come to. I don't think he's got a brain. he's mustard, but he's also gone off mustard at the same time. Weird performance. Yes, the amount of times I think yesterday I've shouted, cross at them, and he either beats his man or he just turns over the ball. Even my mum was sort of, I was like, because I put her mum on me yesterday, she's like, I can see why you're really confused about this guy. He's got a lot of kids' football energy in him. And that's our most experienced player. That's our most experienced player, our most paid player right there. I say most experienced, I mean second after Silva. But kind of sums up where the club is at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, indeed. And then Chelsea get a fourth goal after a laughable long wait for a VAR check after Enzo Fernandez heads home. Side point, I will say, yesterday was very funny, the fact that there was a thing called support VAR in the FA Cup this weekend, and yet that support VAR just slowed down the process instead of speeding it up. There was a VAR check on Thiago Silva's goal from a corner. Like, did they forget the rules? Like, there was no one in his way. The ball literally goes.
I was going to say, what was that all about?
Yeah, exactly. He basically does, like, you know, far far less significantly important, but he's basically just, you know, it's just basically a carbon copy of Drogba's header against Munich in the Champions League final 2012. Cross comes in, he, you know, this is just a VAR check for a bit. I'm like, wait, what? I just went straight to Silva and into the back of the net. I'm like, he's not offside.
Like, on the screen. It popped up on the screen and I was like, oh, someone must have just clicked the wrong button there. And then obviously you texted me going, did they really just VAR check that? And I was like, no. Yeah, bizarre.
And then, then one of the longest VAR checks, which again is just quite funny when Jonathan Pearce immediately goes, oh, that's miles offside at the start. And then you actually see the replay. It's like, oh, no, it's actually quite a lot closer. And yeah, it's actually probably onside. And then after Enzo Fernandez gets a goal. He does like the cup competitions now, does Enzo Fernandez. He scored against AFC Wimbledon in the first round we played in the Carabao Cup this season. And yeah, in the end, Chelsea stroll to a 4-0 win and are through to the next round of the cup. But yeah, again, a performance that, you know, I wouldn't get carried away by, but it was just job done and it was quite nice. And with that, we are going to move on to some listener questions.
On a note on Jonathan Pearce quickly.
Yeah,
this is the bloke who got confused about goal line technology, so we can't really be that surprised.
He did also get Enzo and Mudrik confused yesterday, but to be fair, in his defence, we both did have like blonde streaks. In Enzo's case, he did have blonde streaks of his streaks in his hair, so I could be slightly sympathetic there, but... But yeah,
Jonathan, if you're listening, back to Robot Wars, please. It's much easier for you now, pal.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Anyway, I will get on to listener questions. And let's start with a question from Dieter. Hi, guys. Will Mudryk ever unlock his potential under Poch at Chelsea? And his second question was, what's your opinion about the baffling first half? I'll get onto that in a sec. Gaz, will Mudryk ever unlock his potential under Poch at Chelsea? I mean, I think so. Like, I think, you know, his game is pretty quiet yesterday. But like we're talking about with like Palmer, just for fine margin, Mudryk had, I thought, a pretty quiet game yesterday. He could have walked away with assist. He puts in a really nice ball for Armando to hit the bar. And obviously Mudryk, you know, he got that goal against Newcastle in the Carabao Cup. Like, I feel that he's had, you know, he gets the goal against Palace, etc. Like, I think, yeah, like, he's having a decent season for us, considering like the bar and what we saw with him last season and just how raw he was. I mean, I've got confidence that he will unlock his potential under Poch at Chelsea. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a quick thing, but I think there are certainly signs there, aren't there, that we have got a player on our hands. We just need to sort of mould him. And I think, you know, case example is you're seeing Noni Madueke after what is still taking him, you know, taking him a lot longer than other players, but he's slowly starting to get to grips with what's required of him.
Yeah, I think that we've definitely seen signs of improvement from last season already. I think he's doing more defensively now. He's doing more defensively, winning the ball back more. I just think we just need to not shout to him and just kind of keep that attacking, that element of when he gets the ball, just keep driving forward, keep putting the balls in the box. If no one's even getting on the ends of your balls, like we've seen a few times, just keep putting the balls in the box. Keep doing what you're doing, and then eventually people will kind of latch on to the way this guy plays and we'll build. But I think, like I said earlier about the Gusto thing, I think keeping Mudryk with the same defender behind him will help him in the long term, because he's still learning English, he's still developing English, he's still developing knowledge of the English game itself and the physicality and the speed. And I think having that consistent person behind him, so someone like a Chua when he comes back, that can kind of talk him through the game, that's been there, done that over the years in the English game, will help him.
Yeah, Poch, I don't want to see Chua left wing when he returns, please. But like, that was a thing that happened at the start of the season, and I was like patient with it. But seeing the performances we've seen from Mudryk and Noni, you know, in recent weeks, there's no excuse to go back to that. And Dieter, second question, opinion on the baffling first half. I mean, Dieter, to be honest, I've probably seen first halves probably quite similar to that. It was just, I think, a case of just Chelsea just being slow, probably not moving the ball quick enough, trying to be patient, try and ball Preston out, but just, you know, just not quite going at the intensity required. Like, it was a first half where not a lot happened, but there was never really any sense of danger or whatever. Just like it can just be a typical first half you sort of see against a lower league side. The first half was frustrating. It wasn't a pretty watch, and I was bored. And I said to Gabs at half time, I'm like, mate, you need to try and get a roof off of that first half, because that is dull. But like, it's cup football, and in the end, Chelsea power through in the second half. And look, we probably didn't overexert ourselves much yesterday as well. So I wouldn't, yeah, it was a poor first half, but you know, it was also like, yeah, fine. It's probably also what happens when you don't have natural fullbacks, or certainly, you know, on either side to help. You don't necessarily have that movement. But anyway, yeah. Next question comes in from Dean Osborne. Why are we not more consistent? This should have been done and dusted by half time. Dean, to be fair, I think in another day that probably is done, dusted by half time. If Palmer puts away that chance, Fenzo doesn't head straight at the keeper. Like, Chelsea could have been 2-0 up in that first half. And also, why are we not more consistent? One, because it's a young team. Like, we have got a lot of young players out there. It's not going to be consistent. It's going to be frustrating. And also, as I said, one, if we've got players not necessarily playing in their natural positions, that's probably not going to help loads either, Poch. And we'll get on to Poch in a sec. But like, yeah, it should have been done, dusted by half time. Yeah, probably should have. It was done and dusted by the hour mark. Like, it was done, dusted 50 minutes.
That's game one. Cup, you know, it's one. Done. In the hat. Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. And cup football, I'll be honest, I don't really care about performance. Like, cup football is all about the result. So exactly. We got that done.
We don't care about performance. It's done. Job done. That's all we care about. In the hat.
Yeah, no, exactly. Next question comes in from Dan Hill. What did you think of a 4-2-3-1? Is it a viable solution going forward? And we'll go on to his second question in a bit. Gaz, thoughts on 4-2-3-1? I mean, I don't mind a 4-2-3-1, but I'd kind of prefer it if you've got your fullbacks in there. If you're playing with like proper fullbacks, like that, I just feel there's such a caveat of it. And also, I mean, to Dan's question, 4-2-3-1, is it viable going forward? Yes, but also, like, let's be real, I think quite a lot of us would probably have Conor Gallagher back in that side, you know, for Middlesbrough in the week and certainly for Fulham at the weekend, which would then mean, you know, probably, you know, playing a 4-3-3. Certainly we do not want Enzo Fernandez playing higher up. We saw the effectiveness we can be when he is in that deeper role yesterday. So then it would be a question of what do you do with, you know, Conor coming in for one of those attacking players there, Dan. But for sure, I think, you know, Gab, do you think it's an option move, a viable option moving forward? I mean, I think so, but also, like, is Preston in the Cup? Maybe it's something we can see, depending on, you know, who we get in the next round of the FA Cup, say, maybe it's something we can see there again, etc. You know, but also, it depends, because depending on who we get, it would be quite nice if we didn't have to necessarily roll out Moises Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez for a Cup tie against Preston. You know, it was a pretty strong side from Poch, all things considered. But just, yeah, thoughts on, do you see 4-2-3-1 as a viable solution going forward, and just general thoughts on it?
I can, but I can't, because I've got a feeling once he gets Chilwell and a few others back, I've got a feeling he may go up to five back. Just because, think about it, we've got so many centre-backs on the books. And I know he has a thing for playing lots of centre-backs. I've just got a feeling he might go to five at the back, and then just might get some more natural width in there. We've got Chilwell on one side, Gusto on the other. So I've got a feeling, we'll see anyway, but I've got a feeling we could get into a position where Potter becomes a bit of Potter and likes to just change the formation in game and stuff like that and adapt. We'll see. But we don't know what's going on at the training ground. It could be things in the pipeline.
Danny, it was also worth pointing out, talking about this 4-2-3-1, Nkunku's got a hip injury and is out for 3 weeks or so. So that's just wonderful news to hear.
Was it 3 weeks?
That obviously, so that probably, you know, affects it a little bit as well. Because I said, in that, you know, position, when maybe you've got that actual number 10, etc., us being down sort of a player who can play in that position, maybe it makes it slightly less viable, because again, Palmer sort of in the 10, I think we agree that he is probably better at the moment, certainly in time, certainly out, you know, on that right, rather than being in the middle. So maybe, you know, with Nkunku out, maybe the 4-2-3-1 against certainly Premier League opponents is probably not the way to go. Maybe in the cups we can get away with this, because I said Cole Palmer, I didn't think was that influential yesterday. He walks away with an assist because he puts in a good cross, and in the end he has a fairly tidy game, but you certainly, you know, not his best game and best utilised right now in that position. Dan, second question. What about a word on seeing the Chelsea youngsters get some game time? Is this a genuine thing or lip service, do you think? Not that I want to be cynical, just curious. Because Gabs, obviously, you know, Alfie Gilchrist does get a start. David Washington comes on for Armando Breyer. Michael Golding comes on for Enzo Fernandez. Obviously, it's, you know, quite nice, you know, to see that. Obviously, my slight frustration with Poch is Conor Gallagher coming on for Cole Palmer. Like, I think you're 3-0 up. There's no... Conor Gallagher has played 90, 95% of minutes for Chelsea this season. There's no need to bring him on then. Can you not bring on
someone else? I think he's probably he may have had Luton in the back of his head where, you know, one could lead to two, two could lead to three. So it's just kind of a case of get a steady, calm head. Well, I think calmish head in there.
I would say Preston had basically offered nothing since he offered in that first half. So, yeah, I mean, Martin's on the bench, but again, he's maybe off to Dortmund. So are we trying to, you know, be careful with him there? Obviously, I guess for one, you know, there's two goalkeepers on the bench. So as you know, just standard Poch. And Dylan Williams, the young left-back, who I know basically next to nothing about, was also on the bench. That was also one of my frustrations with Poch. You know, Gusto stays on the 90 minutes when he's our only fit, you know, right-back like Poch.
Yeah, really. It was a bit...
Just Gab's thoughts on sort of the youngsters getting game time, because obviously we've seen Alfie Gilchrist come off the bench in the last two, you know, Premier League games as well to sort of try and help us see a game out. Just what do you think of them getting game time? Do you think it's like genuine thing or lip service? Because like, I think for me, it's sort of a little bit of both. Like, I think in someone like Gilchrist, I think there's genuinely a case now, the evidence is there now that he is someone we can see moving forward, but probably for someone like a David Washington. I mean, David Washington, I think it's just a game situation. Like, he's probably not meant to really be the first team squad this season. He's probably meant to be going on loan or going on loan. But, you know, we've probably, because of our inability to move people like Ziyech off, Kepa off, they've taken up a loan spot and, you know, he's paid a consequence. And then I feel like someone like Michael Golding is probably just like, you know, he's in the squad and the game time perfect situation. I would be surprised if I wouldn't expect to see, you know, him feature much more this season. Maybe, you know, if we're in a similar situation in a next round of the cup or whatever. But just thoughts on it, because for me, it's probably a bit of both. Like, I think Alfie Gilchrist, there's probably a role to have for him to play potentially moving forward. Not huge, but still a role to have involved. But I'm maybe less sure on the likes of Washington, albeit though, you know, with Jackson off at AFCON, Washington, I guess, is our second choice striker now. And then, yeah, I would maybe read too much into Golding, who nearly scored, by the way. He did.
Probably could have, but he just couldn't adjust his body, could he? So.
Yeah. But Gab's just thoughts on the subs and the sort of the use of the youth. Do you think it's genuine lip service, bit of both?
I think a bit of both, really. Think about how many injuries we've currently got at the moment. There's not really that much depth on the bench if you're willing to kind of give some players a rest. And I think with Borough in mind as well, Silver and Gallagher on, obviously, to just arm heads to see out the game. But I think other than that, yeah, you don't really want to be risking many other players that are your usual squad players for the Borough game. Wimbledon, that's League Cup. For the Preston game with Borough in mind. So, I actually get his subs for once. They actually made sense. Yeah, give some guys time to just kind of get to the speed of it with the game, you know, debuts as well. I've actually got no problem with it. Those are the sort of games you want to be giving the youth chances to make an impression, to get used to the feel of playing for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Not games like what we've seen come on in the last few minutes against Brentford when we're chasing a goal.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, and said, Dan, it's the FA Cup third round weekend is kind of sort of a weekend where if you've got a kind draw and if everything's gone to plan, it is one of those weekends you kind of want to see new blood. I feel FA Cup third round kind of just general is that vibe for a lot of Premier League teams. Obviously, you know, from a fan perspective, at Stamford Bridge, it's a game where a lot of families will sort of go and take their kids to their first game. It was my first ever Chelsea game live was the FA Cup. So, and you'd again, just, you know, it's quite nice that sort of players as well, some of the young players get that opportunity there as well. So yeah, Dan, like I said, I'm not going to read too much into it, but when you bring on young players, it's always like a feel-good story, and you kind of see that little clip of Michael Golding sort of smile before he comes on the pitch as well. Like, that's like a dream come true for him as well. So, like, some of it, as I said, some of it is genuine, some of it is, you know, perhaps a bit of lip service and, you know, just symbolism saying, like, yeah, you know, Chelsea, we are kind of open. Like, you know, if I was a betting man, I would be betting on Michael Golding. But, you know, I couldn't with confidence say Michael Golding is, you know, this is the start of a long, fruitful career for Michael Golding. Hopefully it is. But we just don't know. But yeah, like it was fine. It's probably a bit of both.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And the final question comes in from RJ. What did you make of Pochettino's performance all round, ranging from starting 11 selection to the first and second half in game management? Gabs, go off.
Oh, right. Team, okay. I was fairly happy with it. Gilchrist debut, Breuer getting a good chance now, have a run at the team. Or Madueke rested, good, you know, played, you know, the last two games, so you can tell now that he's majorly part of his plans, that he's given a rest. Good chance to Mudryk as well to get some minutes and press in the cup. Sterling, obviously, we haven't seen for a few games. So that made sense, bringing in Sterling to kind of stick a claim ahead of Burr on Tuesday. So, yeah, and also Colwell centre-back, finally. That was nice. Yeah, I had nothing wrong with the team, really. I think, like we said earlier, I think Mattson must be off for him not to play. You know, he's in the Championship team this season last year, playing at left-back against the Championship team. You think, right, that's a good chance for him to come in and play left-back, but no, he must be off if that's happening and not get on the pitch. No, credit where due, Potts did earn his money yesterday, I thought, because I don't know what he said to them at half-time, but it worked. It worked, because they came out a different side. They came out of more urgency. Second half, they got the crowd involved as well. There was just a raise of decibels from the crowd, which suggested there was more effort and desire going into it, because the first half was very training ground-like. And what was significant to me as well, Potts didn't stand up once in that first half, didn't get out of his seat once. Second half, from the go, stood on the edge of his touchline. So just little differences like that I noticed yesterday, which can impact performance. Subs?
Yeah,
I've got no issues. We've got a cut game. We've got a cut semi-final on Tuesday. Game's done. Get them off. And then, you know, Madueke, Gallagher, Silva, case of kind of keep the bodies ticking, get some minutes in them. And, you know, for Madueke, I guess, try and add some more goals, keep the confidence going. I think he did. I think he had a good performance again. And, yeah, job done. In the hat. Tuesday, will we see changes? Probably a few, but I wouldn't be surprised if a team is quite similar.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I imagine maybe we'll see Gusto at right back. Gilchrist drops out. I'd imagine, you know, you've got Colwell at left back, maybe, and you've got Dezazi and Silva at the back, maybe. Gallagher maybe in for one of Sterling or Mudryk, maybe. But yeah, I think it'll be fairly similar to what we saw. And RJ, as I said, you know, the starting 11, you know, people will go, yeah, it's a bit strong, obviously. But then you look at the bench and who we had, like, who would really, people really, you know, have wanted to see. I don't think any of us would necessarily thinking loads of the youngsters were starting. And, you know, all of them bar Dylan Williams did come on. So, you know, we did see that as well. And as I said, yeah, first half was just like, felt like Potts, just like a lot of the players, were sort of like going through the motions, waiting for something to click. And then obviously it didn't. So he kind of took charge at half time, obviously fired a rocket up him. And the second half, we did come out and said, second half, you know, I did, you know, did quite like, obviously, I guess people at the time had been frustrated. I think when Silva comes on for Gilchrist, because you're thinking, is it really necessary? But I think Gilchrist was sort of cramping up about it, and it is his first senior start. So I do get that. Silva comes on, heads home the second goal. Obviously, I guess people would, you know, argue at that point, could you not bring on a Mattson or a Dylan Williams, and then you can, you know, Gusto can be right back in his position, you know, etc. And, you know, you can keep maybe Colwell centre back, whatever. But, you know, that's just sort of minor points. And then said, yeah, subs for Pfeffer. Well, Nonny comes on for Mudryk. And Nonny, you know, that was a really good 30 minutes from him. Could have got a goal. He was just lively when he come on. That was good. Connor again, you know, 15 minutes. You know, obviously that's a bit, you know, maybe a bit of a gripe. Is he necessarily needed to play, you know, that 15 minutes? Could maybe at that point, could you bring on, I don't know, someone like Dylan Williams? I don't know. Could you bring on, you know, Mattson? But we've gone over Mattson. He's probably off, so why risk it? Yeah, David Washington comes on for Breyer as well that time. And then, as I said, you know, Golding friends every 8.5 minutes. Could Michael Golding have come on a few minutes earlier? Maybe. But, like, in general, I don't really have many gripes with certainly that second half in-game management. The first half performance was just really slow, boring. And obviously, I think that's what happens when you don't have fullbacks, you know, playing with, you only got one actual fullback on the pitch. And then he's not in his natural position. So, no, it was fine, RJ. Like, it's not one to really sort of overanalyze. It was a cup game against a lower league opposition, and Chelsea got the job done, probably playing at about 60-70% of their capacity and what they're capable of, you know. And they said the early rounds of the cup, it's just about getting through. Like, how many of us really remember when Chelsea have gone on to win an FA Cup, like that third round tie or that fourth round tie against opposition? Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, let's be honest, when we reach the FA Cup final a couple of seasons ago under Thomas Tuchel, do any of us actually really remember that FA Cup run? Like, no, we played lower league opposition till the semi-final when we played Crystal Palace. And, you know, some of those games we made a bit of hard work of, and they weren't the most convincing, but we got through in the end, and that's all that all that really mattered. In the end, we made pretty light work of Preston. So I'm not going to really, you know, go overboard or make too many judgments or conclusions from that game. I said it was fine. It was job done. And Gab, just on a side point to Ajay's question, it is 3 wins in a row. And it does feel that although there's been moments in these games where Chelsea have like played really well, I thought Crystal Palace that first half was actually, you know, from minute 5 of a Crystal Palace game to just before we conceded, that was really good from us. For Luton away, I thought that first sort of 60, 65 minutes was really good. Some of the best you'll see from a team at Luton this season. And then, you know, yesterday that second half was a lot better. So there, you know, been moments in games where, you know, we've just done what's needed. But Gab's also just quite nice that we're talking about Chelsea just taking care of business and just getting the job done. This is like a run of fixtures we are now in. Obviously, after Wolves, I felt it was just kind of crucial that we just did put a run of wins together. And, you know, since Wolves, we have won 3 in a row. We've obviously two of those in the Premier League. You know, first part of cup football is ticked. There's two games against Middlesbrough to sort out now. And there's a game, you know, against Fulham in between. But Gab's, it does feel this sort of period, I'm kind of willing to be fairly lenient on Poch and the performance in general if we just get in the results in this period, because there's quite a lot of football we're playing in this period, and realistically all that really matters is Chelsea progressing in the cups and, you know, just trying to climb up that Premier League table. So I'm kind of willing to be lenient on some, you know, elements of the performance and maybe some of in-game management at points, because, you know, if Chelsea getting the job done, I can't really complain, because that's what that we're at that stage where in this period of fixtures where I think really that is all that matters, getting the job done. Yeah. It doesn't really, you know, a lot of said 3 of the 6 games are cup football. So all that really matters is just getting the job done. And that is what we are doing at this moment in time.
Yeah, agreed. Up until Liverpool now, just get the job done. But how you win, you just got to keep winning now. We're 1 point off Newcastle in the league. It's mental to think we're even saying that. Especially after they beat us 4-0. It's just the case now, 4-1, sorry. Just the case now, we just need to just professional performances, getting the job done. Then we could start playing these youth players once the job is done and just consolidate and seeing out games. But the key thing for me yesterday was actually the clean sheet. I think that mentally will do something big for them, for that defence. Just keep the clean sheet, and hopefully we'll build on that now going into the next 2 big games next week.
Yeah, no, exactly. And as I said, you know, Middlesbrough midweek Tuesday, hopefully Chelsea, you know, can do, you know, get themselves 1 foot in a semi-final. Said the second leg at Stamford Bridge is pretty good. So, you know, if Chelsea can just, even if it is just a narrow 1-goal lead or something to take back to Stamford Bridge, that's still a good position for Chelsea to be in, taking that second leg back to Stamford Bridge. And then said there's an opportunity with Fulham every weekend where if Chelsea, you know, win that, they can temporarily go up to, you know, 8th or maybe even as high as 7th. You know, Newcastle play Manchester City later in the day on the Saturday, and on the Sunday, you know, Man United are at home to Spurs. So that, you know, that could potentially be another tricky afternoon for Erik Ten Hag, etc. And obviously, you know, because I think various teams now are going to have their winter breaks or whatever at various points, because next weekend there's only a few Premier League games sort of scheduled. So yeah, about half the teams will go into like a little break. So it's an opportunity for us, you know, to then temporarily, you know, go 7th next week. And then all of a sudden, you know, European football doesn't look that far off. And then, you know, if you can be through in the cups, etc., and all of a sudden they say it's all about just trying to paint this picture, just like make it look a bit brighter, look a bit happy. Because said in about a week's time, etc., we could be talking about Chelsea having one foot in a Wembley final and being, you know, as high as 7th in the Premier League potentially, and just feeling quite good about ourselves for the first time in a while. So that's, I think, just important. As I said, this period is just about getting the job done to see what's later. Because I said, we need to just get the job done, because we kind of messed up a bit at the start of the season with some of those games we dropped points in, etc., and, you know, having to claw it back a bit. But if we can just be in the running basically for a form of European football, you know, preferably the Europa League, and then, you know, just go through in the cups, then, you know, Chelsea can be on still for a fairly decent season, all things considered. But yeah, Gav, did you just have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just think the beauty of this period as well is with the club competitions and the league, it's just a really good chance to see how decent the squad is and see all of the squad play and potentially stake a claim for a spot. And I think they'll be hungry in there. They're a young team, as you discussed. People will be coming back from injuries. And it's just, I like this period of the season, because it's always a really good chance for players to stake a claim. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to see what we saw in the first half. I know, yes, we won. And, you know, we're in the hat. Good stuff. But there should be some players in there just that we saw second half, wanted to get it more, wanted to be up for it, stay clean. So it's going to be a, you know, I know we haven't got Champions League, Europe, or anything in this second half of the season, but after the League Cup, say, what, Feb, we're approaching business end and there's not really many games to many other players. If Potter's got a set of 11 with no injuries to stake a claim.
Yeah, learning exactly. And he said in this last little period, we've seen people like Nonny, who we probably maybe assume was out the door potentially in January, now make a claim, and you're thinking, yeah, he's definitely part of the plans moving forward. So I said, you know, this period, Chelsea have won 3 games in a row. Sure, they've not been the most convincing at points. There's been bits to like in them, bits to be frustrated about, etc. But Chelsea are kind of just getting the job done. And, you know, considering Chelsea basically couldn't get the job done in games last season, the fact we're kind of doing it this season is already, you know, just a step in the right direction. As I said, it's that part of the season, you know, cup football, just get the job done, get your name in the hat through to the next round and just see what the draw has for you in the same, you know, can we just, you know, keep gradually climbing, etc. No reason to go overboard. Chelsea are kind of right now just doing what we're expecting, doing, you know, what is required and sort of doing the bare minimum. But again, they said Chelsea were not doing that last season. We were not doing that at points throughout the start of this season. So it's quite nice for us to just be in that place right now where, you know, we're doing all right. You know, things can look up and say it's 3 wins in a row into the fourth round, hopefully get a kind draw when that draw is made or on Monday. And then, you know, just get, you know, focus on Middlesbrough midweek and then, you know, focus on Fulham, then focus on Middlesbrough, then etc. Focus on the next round of the cup before that. You know, there'll be that Liverpool game, etc. So now there's opportunity to just progress in the cup, make progress, and just give this season something to look forward to, because it is crucial that this season has, you know, we have something to look forward to beyond just league football and just trying to qualify for some form of European competition. So no, it's been, you know, another successful weekend for Chelsea. So that is going to wrap it up for this week of that Chelsea pod. I will thank Gabs for coming on. Gabs, before you go, give yourself one last plug where people can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, well, X, as people apparently now call it, 1GFB. A lot of League 2 rants on there at the moment, so brace yourself.
Lovely, lovely stuff. As for us, we're on Twitter or X at That Chelsea Pod, Instagram at That Chelsea Pod. We're on all your usual podcast platform providers, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please feel free to leave a rating and review. It goes a long, long way whenever I tweet the pod out. If you follow us, any likes or reposts go a long way. Again, just helps get it out onto other people's timeline. And yeah, folks, we will be back. There'll be a pod, should be a pod in your feed Wednesday morning as we look back at hopefully Chelsea making one big step forward to a Wembley final Tuesday night. But until the next episode, keep the blue flag flying high.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.